Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial. Here on the KE Report, we're going to be focusing on the GDX, GDXJ charts, as well as talking about silver, as we are chatting with Jordan Roiburn, founder and editor of the Daily Gold. Now, Jordan, we look at GDX and GDXJ. They had been in a tough ride to begin this year, almost two straight months of downward price action. But just in the last month, and it was really just what kicked off March, about a week and a half of very strong trading action higher, and now a little bounce today, they're pretty much right back to where they started the year. What I find interesting about today's action is for the last about 2 weeks, we've seen more of a consolidation move in these charts where GDX and GDXJ were going mostly sideways. Today, they're having at least a short-term breakout here from that sideways trading action. Jordan, are you seeing any patterns of significance within GDX or the GDXJ charts?
With respect to patterns, no, I'm not. I mean, you do potentially, if we're looking at the minor charts, you could say with the recent low a month or two ago, and then the low, it looks like at the very beginning of October 2023, you kind of have a double bottom there, but it's not. I mean, it looks like a double bottom, but it doesn't really fit the parameters of the pattern. Other than that, you know, not really. I mean, you do have resistance for GDX coming up, I want to say around 32. So that's a little more than a point of upside for GDX. GDXJ, you do have resistance in the 39s. GDXJ is just trading below 38 right now. So there's a little more room for the miners to move up before they hit those resistance levels. And yes, looking at the weekly chart, I've just pulled up GDX. If we could get a weekly close at just 32 itself, that would be pretty close to a 52-week high. So it is possible if the miners are able to push above those resistance levels I mentioned, then they could run up to the peaks from spring of 2023. We're looking at 35 for GDX. And for GDXJ, that would be about 42. Now, another thing that I'm looking at, now I haven't updated these since the end of last week, but as you guys know, I love looking at the breadth indicators. And in recent days, we've been at this point, we're looking at the breadth indicators. You know, I look at the current readings and then I just go back and look at the last 10 years and mark, okay, where were the similar breadth readings? And basically we're at a point where, like, if you're kind of in a bear trend, it's a sell signal. But if you're in a bull trend, you're at the point where you're going to see the gains extend and continue. And I think where we are here and now, I would lean towards the gains extending and continuing.
Jordan, just following up on that and some of the comments you made about the charts of GDX and GDXJ, I mean, if we look back to the end of 2022 when gold got down below that 1675 support, broke down to 1618, that's really when GDX and GDXJ bottomed, and GDX bottomed at 2082. It's up over $30 now, so it's nowhere close to making new lows. But the other thing I notice if I look at the daily chart on both GDX and GDXJ is that low that we just saw in February was a little bit, like to your point, it's a double bottom, but it was a little bit higher than the one in October. And now both GDX and GDXJ are above their 200-day moving average and their 50-day moving average. So that's usually a more bullish posture. Does that give some support behind the idea that these gains could keep extending?
Yeah, I mean, the problem with moving averages when I'm looking at the current charts is if you look at the last couple years, they're just going sideways, basically. What you like to see is the moving average sloping up for a little while, and then maybe the market comes back and retests one of those moving averages, and then it, you know, the market can resume moving up as the moving averages are turning higher. Looking at the 50-day right now for GDX, it's below the 200-day and the 400-day, which I look at. So they're not aligned how you would like to see it. But for me, I look at breadth indicators as the best indicators because moving averages, like, their positions can be all over the place. I mean, sometimes a market can make a major bottom and the moving averages are all messed up. And then the market does this huge V rebound and it keeps going. And, you know, then people will say, oh, it needs to come and retest the moving average, but it'll keep going up. So anyway, there's just too many scenarios with moving averages. breadth indicators to me are a lot more reliable. And that's why I think after today, we're probably going to have more evidence in the breadth indicators that they're telling us that now it's like a lot more likely that we're going to continue and resume this move rather than the scenario of, well, this is a sell signal in a downtrend.
Jordan, what about the longer term chart? If you could pull up a monthly chart of GDX, I find it very interesting where, look, GDX was really struggling. You go back to 2013 and GDX could really never get above that 30 level. It kept topping out. It was in the teens for a while, and then it broke much higher in 2020 up to 43. Since then, we have some lower highs, but now we also have some higher lows just in the last couple years. And I guess to that moving average point, we're right in the middle of maybe this 3 to 4 year trading range. You could maybe call it. What do you pull away from a monthly chart like this?
What I take away is from the chart itself, when we're looking at a monthly chart, looking at GDX, the resistance comes into play. Of course, you have the 2020 peak, which is in the low 40s. Then you have some other peaks that I think are around 37. So this short-term move, if it extends for a couple more months, you know, that's where it could potentially get to. But overall, this is a bigger point, and not to like turn this into another discussion, but I think because of what's happened with the gold ETFs, you know, in 2004, then 2005 and 2006, yeah, all these gold ETFs came about. Like before then, people had to buy gold miners. Like they could only buy gold miners if they wanted to get exposure to gold. And, you know, now people are able to just buy the gold ETFs. So mining stock, I mean, gold and silver stocks now, they're leveraged plays on gold and silver. And so they're really like options. So they trade best and they'll show leverage, like when you're coming off of a crash bottom or when the underlying metal makes a breakout and trends really hard for a couple years. Like those are the points when the miners and the stocks will really outperform. But at this point, because of capital flows into the gold ETFs, which, you know, up until 15, 20 years ago, it was really not possible. Because of that, like they're now an option on the metal. So they trade a lot differently. And so because of that, I don't think the miners are really, you could say, oh, the miners lead gold. They're not leading indicators anymore. Like gold is really what leads everything because the miners are options. And so they follow gold. So therefore gold has to perform well for the miners to then take the reins and outperform. Now, in a very short-term sense, like when we're looking at, you know, daily charts or, you know, the markets are correcting, if we start to see the miners outperform, like they're, you know, today they're moving up and, you know, making higher high, like that's a confirming indicator. You could say it's a leading indicator, but, you know, stepping back and just looking at, as you mentioned, you know, the monthly charts and looking at 10, 15 years, to me, they're just options now on gold and also on silver. And so they're not leading indicators. So we have to think about them in a different way.
Well, Jordan, let's also get your thoughts on silver, because as people know, it's the more speculative metal between gold and silver. It doesn't have nearly the same chart that gold does. But when we see silver get going in tandem with the mining stocks, that's when the sector really heats up. How are you looking at the technical setup in silver right now, Jordan?
It all comes down to 26. I mean, there's no need to babble on here for 5 minutes about the silver chart. It all comes down to 26. You have weekly resistance at 26. You have monthly resistance at 26. You know, the last week or so, we can see it's lagging gold. End of this week, we have, you know, not only you have updated weekly charts, we have new monthly charts and new quarterly charts. So this is the end of the quarter. So I'm very interested to see at the end of this week, are we going to see fund managers, you know, and macro traders, are they going to add to their precious metals positions at the end of the quarter because they want those on their books? Or are they going to take some profits and then reinvest that capital into the stock market because the stock market's also trending? I just pulled up the quarterly chart. And so there is quarterly resistance in silver moving like a moving above 25, like a quarterly close above 25. That would be significant. But circling back, you look at the monthly and the weekly charts of silver, it all comes back to 26 and then 28. So those are the key levels. And I think this is really, it's just a really important level for the sector. People are wondering, okay, well, when is ABC Junior going to start to move, or when are the exploration stocks going to move? And I'm thinking about the indicators, the sector indicators that could, you know, potentially lead to those moves or trigger those moves. So it's not to say that, again, that silver is a leading indicator for the miners or juniors, but, you know, silver can be a leading indicator for, you know, if the sector is risk on or risk off. And so I think if we get silver breaking above 26 and then eventually 28, that to me is going to be, you know, potentially a demarcation point for when this sector can really take off and when capital will flow down, you know, from the seniors, royalty companies and mid tiers to the juniors and silver stocks as well. But, you know, if silver is going to remain below 26 for a while, then it will be a while before capital flows downstream.
All right. Well, that's pretty straightforward there. I guess we should talk about what a breakout would look like in your eyes. It's easy to tell if it doesn't break out and stays below 26, but in terms of a significant breakout, what would you consider that to look like?
It would be a monthly close. I mean, obviously a weekly close, but you get a weekly and a monthly close above 26 in silver. Then 28 is the next test, but I think 26 is so more stiff at this point that if you get a strong move above 26, that's eventually, sooner rather than later, going to lead to a break above 28. And you do have a potential measured upside target. It's not the cleanest or the highest probability target, but you would have a measured upside target of about 33, 34 in silver. So, you know, looking at the silver chart, you have 26 and 28, and the real next significant resistance is 33, 34. So again, if you get a clean, strong breakout in silver above 26, gold's really moving. And at the same time, you're starting to see precious metals outperform the stock market, then you could have potential, or should have potential, for silver to run to 33, 34. And I think looking at, if you're looking at, you know, annual charts of silver or quarterly charts, that is really the next major resistance, is in the 33, 34, that area. And so, and I say that because eventually, if silver can take out, you know, on a monthly and quarterly basis, if it can take out, you know, 33, 34, 35, that area, then you're on the way to 50. So basically, you get the breakout, then you have one real last level to clear before you get to 50.
All right. Hey, Jordan, thank you very much. I really appreciate sticking to these charts. You sharing what you're seeing in these charts and breaking it down as simply as you can for us. Look, I think we all know there's a lot of work to be done for the equities, for silver on the upside, but some defined levels that we can look at, that once this momentum even picks up steam, and right now there is some momentum on the upside, continuation of that, I think we'll also bring in more investors too. But hey, it's a process, especially when you have gone through a market just like we have seen, with a real mixed bag at best. Jordan, thank you again for your time. Remember, Jordan is founder and editor of The Daily Gold, which we will post below. Be sure to check out that website to stay up to date with all of Jordan's commentary and videos on the sector. Thanks, Jordan.